We are back on the Bengals Beat podcast. As promised, each night of the NFL draft, round two and three in the books, the Cincinnati Bengals off the clock until tomorrow. I'm joined by Tyler Dragon, Charlie Goldsmith. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. A little tired. Round three just finished the NFL draft. Round four, six and seven tomorrow. But it's been an exciting draft. A lot of intriguing picks. And the Bengals, I think they've had an okay draft. I don't think it's great, in my opinion, but they've had an okay draft.
I feel like the prep is definitely paying off in a lot of ways. You could read this happening, wide receiver with that being the route first, then looking at an offensive tackle with potential guard versatility, almost even the reverse in that, maybe potentially with Jackson Carmen. And then an edge rusher who brings the physical traits, leadership ability, and overall style that the Bengals look for in their defensive ends. So again, I feel like the prep paid off, and now I'm excited to see how these guys do.
Yeah, we'll start with the second round pick right now because I actually saw this on social media and I think it's perfect. If the Bengals would have gotten Jackson Carmen in the third round, second round got Joseph Osai, I think fans would have been, oh, what a steal, way to go. But also, they needed to address the offensive line. Obviously, different mock drafts. And when you look at the rankings of some of these players, you look at Jackson Carmen. I know he's a hometown guy, but obviously, the flexibility with the offensive line, he's going to compete at guard from day one. We heard from Frank Pollock, Zach Taylor. That's the game plan when he starts rookie minicamp and he gets into Paul Brown Stadium. There's a chance to develop, though. One thing that I've heard about Frank Pollock from several offensive line gurus is this guy can develop players. So look, I know a lot of people want to look at Riley Reiff and think he's not the long-term solution. Everybody knows that at tackle. But the biggest problem with the Cincinnati Bengals when we think about that offensive line is the guard position. So having competition is never a bad thing. And what I think this guy can do, and I know Charlie just mentioned it, just the flexibility at the position with the offensive line pick in the second round.
Yeah, I agree with you that when Joe Burrow got hurt, it was because of interior pressure versus the Washington football team. He was really under siege and the pocket collapsed on the inside. And then also Chase Young got around, a little bit late, but it was his knee initially was hit because of interior pressure. So that guard spot, that's been a position of weakness for the Bengals for a while now. You have a player like Jackson Carmen. He has ne never played a collegiate game at guard, but there are a lot of scouts that believe that he is better suited at the NFL level at guard instead of tackle. So the Bengals like offensive linemen with some position versatility. Frank Pollock has said so. Jim Turner last year has said so. Zach Taylor, of course, as well. So I do expect him to compete for a starting guard position. It's going to be interesting, though, because right now it's Quinn Spain and Xavier Suafilo penciled in as the Bengals' two starting guards. So I don't know at this point if he is better than them right now, but I can say he has a higher ceiling than both of them based on film that I've seen. But it's going to be interesting that position battle with, him and Quinn Spain, Xavier Suafilo. Don't forget about Akeem Adeniji, Michael Jordan's still in the mix. So, the Bengals are creating a good problem to have along the offensive line and creating competition. Is it going to be good enough to have a stout offensive line this season? The jury's still out on that. I think the Bengals at best are going to have an average offensive line, but we shall see. The addition of Frank Pollock was probably the best move that the Bengals made on their off. No, it is the best move the Bengals made on their offensive line this offseason, and he's not going to play one snap.
So the view I'm looking at this Jackson Carmen move is from the lens of adding a guard. And if this is someone who can and will play guard for the Bengals, that is a major investment. Looking back at what we were saying, really even before free agency, was saying, I'm curious whether or not the Bengals will make a significant investment in guard. I wrote a story, I think, in January, February, fact or fiction, do the Bengals invest in guards? And there was a draft section. And now with this pick of Jackson Carmen, if you categorize him as a guard, the Bengals change from fiction to fact in investing in guards. So let's just look at some numbers. Over the last, I believe it's 15 years, you look at how many guards have been picked in the first round. Well, now it would have been 31 total over all 32 teams. And now the Bengals go from below average to above average. If you look at guards drafted over the first four rounds over that same time span, that average is 3.5. The Bengals in that area went from below average to above average. Now the question is, how much do you see Jackson Carmen as a guard? Of course, he has played tackle, and with conversations I had with people before the draft, a lot of people questioned, I guess, just the overall explosiveness and size package translating to guarding the NFL. But here's what I heard. I heard that Jackson Carmen was committed to kind of building himself up to be a tackle. I heard he played at 340 pounds last season, and then this year dropped about 20 pounds and was kind of with that mindset, I'm training to be a tackle. I'm proving that explosiveness that I have, but really a lot of those same qualities he had at Clemson last season will serve him very, very, very well as a guard this season. And I could really see him contributing.
And when I think of, you know, mocks or places to go for reference when it comes to some of these rounds, the second and third round, PFF actually ranked him 48. He went 46 to the Bengals. Obviously, they traded back and they got more depth pieces in the fourth round. And I know a lot of people are like, what are you doing? Look at all these offensive line options. You're passing up on them. Bengals said they got their guy. But at the same time, when you are a team, when you're having back-to-back-to-back losing seasons, you need depth. Well, trading back, look, I know a lot of people have different grades on him, and there were some other offensive line pieces that, you know, a lot of people felt like they passed on and they missed on if they would have just stayed put. But I think developmental player, when you put him in the guard position, he's more comfortable at tackle. But I think at the moment, you put him in at guard, obviously a position, their biggest weakness on the offensive line. You move back a few spots, you get some draft capital in the fourth round, and you add depth to a roster.
Yeah, I'll say this, and the Bengals haven't told me, but based on their actions in the NFL draft, I can tell that they were not too high on this year's offensive line class. I mean, you don't pass up on a player that many believe is the best offensive lineman in the draft, and Penei Sewell, and then Rashawn Slater. And then you have a pick at the top of the second round, and then you trade back. You don't do that if you believe that there are really good offensive linemen in this year's draft that can start right away and be game changers for the team. So, you know, like you said, the jury is still out. They did get two fourth round picks from the New England Patriots. So it's going to be interesting to see who those players are. But yeah, it's, I still think the Bengals offensive line is a position of weakness going into the season. And their quarterback is still rehabbing from a left knee injury. So if I were the GM, I would play the draft a little bit different, but I know we disagree on this.
It's funny though, from a Bengals perspective, I think that passing on Penei Sewell and then trading back deeper into the second round is a sign that you are a very strong believer in the offensive line depth in this year's class. You look at who they got in Jackson Carmen, and I kind of broke this year's offensive line group up into three different categories. There were tackles of the future, guys with extremely quick feet, great length, great upside. There were guard-tackle hybrids like Liam Eikenberg. We threw Tevin Jenkins into that category. And I think Jackson Carmen is a prototype in that category. We'll get back to that in a second. And then there are pure guards. If they wanted the best, most experienced guard, they could have traded back and got Wyatt Davis or somebody. But what the Bengals did is they really targeted in on that group of someone who could play guard now. They said Jackson Carmen will be in the mix to start now, and also offers you the flexibility to, you know, if you need to move him to tackle, you can do that. He has blocked for Trevor Lawrence. He has played tackle at Clemson. And while he doesn't necessarily have, you know, the unbelievable upside that some of the other tackles in this class had, which, you know, I've discussed in some of the breakdowns I've done, he can very well still do that. So I think what the Bengals did is they said, we believe so strongly we can get someone who can play now. That's how I see the Jackson Carmen. It's someone who can play now and also someone they can develop down the road and play both tracks, because they believed in who they're getting.
And I think they believe in Frank Pollock, what this guy's going to be able to develop with Carmen. So to be determined if obviously they put him at guard, if they need to get him out at tackle, all of that is to be determined. Look, the guy has yet to step foot on the field, even at Paul Brown Stadium just yet. I know a lot of people criticize the pick, but at the moment, it's just an unknown, but it's a guard position that they need competition at. And this guy is going to compete on day one. We heard from Frank Pollock and Zach Taylor. When it comes to the Bengals, Tyler, you mentioned maybe not believing in the depth of this offensive line class. I think, again, I know we talked about this last night. You could point to a lot of NFL teams in the first and maybe even early in the second who didn't take an offensive lineman, who should have taken an offensive lineman, and said they took a playmaker, took someone on the defensive side. So I guess I will disagree with the Bengals not liking the depth of this class because they felt comfortable. They felt comfortable moving back. So that part, I'm not agreeing with you on, man. Two nights in a row.
And that's okay. That's why we. I will say I've talked to several current and former NFL players, and they all still are in disbelief that the Bengals did not draft Penei Sewell.
Well, there's a big difference in
That's
not
why
drafting
they
and it not
that's
being.
why they play the game, and that's gonna we are all gonna find out if it was the best decision or not. And like I said last night, I see why they went right receiver and drafted Ja'Marr Chase, and I see why that they traded back and got some more draft capital, excuse me, and added a player at guard who has some position versatility, who down the road can play tackle. But it's the Bengals are playing catch up in the AFC North. So whatever they make right now, I for their sake, they have to look at the other teams in the division and see, okay, well, what are they doing and how do we beat them? Because we haven't beat them in a long time. So it's going to be interesting to see how, they keep on playing this draft out and how they continue to build their roster because they're still in rebuild mode and their best player on offense, the player who they're building around, he needs some more protection. And I'm not sold on the protection that he has right now.
I'm saying this as someone who had Jackson Carmen as ninth on my offensive line board heading into the draft, but I still view the moves they made as a sign of belief. One, I really think in Quentin Spain, and two, was a sign of faith in the offensive line class as a whole. Again, while Jackson Carmen was more of a, I guess you'd call it a high-end investment for a guard because he really is. When you look at how many guards get drafted that high, and while Quentin Spain has had that production, but just looking at his projected salary was not as much of that high end, I guess, salary, I guess. But the point I'm trying to make is they did develop a strategy with Chase and relying on the depth in the offensive line class. They made a point with the one that they thought fit best what they were looking for, which from my perspective personally, someone who can start at guard based on Carmen's skill set and develop into a tackle if that's something they end up really needing down the road. And I do think also we'll add more offensive linemen before the end of the draft.
Yeah, I see that happening in the fourth round. I mean, it's going to be a busy day tomorrow as the Cincinnati Bengals wrap up the 2021 draft, but they're not done tonight. Joseph Osai, an edge position player in the third round. And honestly, when you looked at day two, it was probably going offensive line in the second round. Third is a toss up because if their edge guy is there, I really felt like Cincinnati was going to go for it. And they did.
Bengals love going defense in the third round. That much is true. But yeah, I mean, I do agree with you. Joseph Asai, he has a high motor. He plays hard. He attacks whoever has the ball. He has a nose for the football. He had 24 starts, I believe, at Texas. Was an honorable mention, All-American. So he was, I can probably say he was a steal in the third round. The Bengals, Lou Anarumo said that he was excited to get a defensive player and to have him on the team. So it's going to be interesting to see how he fits on the offense because there is talk that he can play inside in the interior at defensive tackle. At Texas, he played more outside linebacker and edge rusher. So he's kind of a tweener, 6'4", 253-ish. So is he gonna fill his body out, play with his hands in the dirt at defensive end, or is he going to play defensive tackle for the Bengals? The Bengals, they love drafting players along the both lines that can play multiple positions. They have done that multiple years in a row, but I do like to pick it. He is a player that I can see contributing right away.
Two things. First, he was actually, I tweeted out a 10 player, I guess, big board heading into the day with mostly offensive linemen and defensive linemen. And Asai was the 11th person who was literally just left off for who I was saying the Bengals could prioritize in the second round, let alone the third. In addition to that, where I see him fitting right away is I like to call it the third down brigade, the unit that comes on specifically on pass rushing downs on the defensive line. What they did a ton last season was they rotated two guys who really came up as defensive ends, one in Marcus Hunt, who later translated to become a full-time defensive tackle, and two in Sam Hubbard, who is a clear-cut D end. Those two both went inside a ton on third downs last season as the Bengals brought in Carl Lawson early in the year. Later they made they clicked Kareem playing that role some, but just the size, someone who on that third down pass rush down, you can use either of those spots. I don't see him as the run defender on the inside in terms of that versatility, but he is someone who's played on and off the line of scrimmage, someone who can play inside and outside on pass downs. And what I like most about him is his long arms, which he can kind of use to create leverage in a variety of ways. The arms and the motor are a great combination. We often hear about motor with players who don't have great physical traits. That's kind of a cliche there. Everything we've heard about his size, about his motor, and he adds that great arm length as well. He's going to create a ton of leverage. I think he'll make plays this season.
Day two in the books. Tomorrow, they'll wrap it all up. A busy day for the Cincinnati Bengals when they get in the fourth round with those three picks. Tyler, do you have any special questions of the day to wrap up the draft night two?
Do I have any special questions? I'm going to let you two ask questions of the day. I'm going to flip it around on you two. Do you two have any questions of the day for me?
My question was, are you guys NFL Network or ESPN draft people?
Okay. I have two things I'd really like to say right now, because I always feel like right before I make a point, I have to say two things. When I think of ESPN and I think of NFL Network, I think of, and obviously it's not the same because when you think of draft coverage, it's different people out there. I love NFL Live. I love the people on it. I think it's great chemistry. I love Good Morning Football over on the NFL Network. I think those, if you like the NFL and you want some good information, but you also want to see great chemistry, people having some fun on the shows, love both of them, NFL Network and ESPN. I will say I've been on ESPN coverage, and that's because I've been lazy and not going to NFL Network. It is nothing against NFL Network. I love Daniel Jeremiah. I love all the analysts, but yeah, I'm just lazy. I haven't flipped the remote. I'm on ESPN right now.
So I'm going to pull Lindsay and Charlie and say, I'm not going to answer because I've worked at both NFL Network and ESPN, and I have friends still at both places. And I think both of them do a really good job covering the NFL draft.
Very, that was great.
Politically correct.
What about you, Charlie?
I usually, the pick around me is around the 16, 20 mark. I love the pageantry of the ESPN broadcast, and I think they do such a great job specifically with the stakes of the big picks. It feels so big and official. That's why I miss it at Radio City Music Hall. But then after that, I'm an NFL Network guy until I moved and now don't get NFL Network. So this season I'm an ESPN guy, even though I'm a big NFL Network fan.
Do you have Hulu?
I don't know what I have and don't have. I don't think I have Hulu, no.
Okay, well, if you had Hulu, I'm just here to break some news, which not really breaking because it came out 2 weeks ago, that NFL Network is going to be added to Hulu August 1st. So, you know, if you're a cord cutter, you're getting the network. And I'm pretty pumped about it because I am team Hulu right now.
Do you think the draft should be on Nickelodeon after they had the draft? I mean, the NFL games on Nickelodeon last season?
I loved it. I don't think you can put – I think you could have fun with it. Obviously, you wouldn't go the whole 3 days. And I think just with games in general, when it comes to the playoff games, I think they did a great job with it. Obviously, eyeballs everywhere when it's the NFL playoffs. But I think during regular season, I don't think they should do it every week. But I think every now and then having a game on Nickelodeon is a good idea.
I don't see a draft on Nickelodeon just because, like, there's no action. As much as I love the draft, there's nothing for a four-year-old to grasp onto in the same way that the climb and the touchdowns and the...
A lot of these players still do watch Nickelodeon. You'd be
Nickelodeon. I love Nickelodeon.
I do too. Joe Burrow watches Nickelodeon. He's a SpongeBob guy.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go.
You know, it's getting late when we are talking about Nickelodeon. We're recording this about 12:30 a.m. So, you know, we're just here recapping real quick. But there's plenty online, Cincinnati.com. What is up there, guys?
So, Joseph Asai, the Bengals' third-round pick, I have a story on him. And I'll have an analyst piece on both of the Bengals' picks. So, I'm going to be up all night writing about Jackson Carmen and Joseph Asai, about how they fit on the Bengals offensively and defensively. So, keep it locked on Cincinnati.com for my recap and analysis.
And I have a story that just published on who the Bengals could draft on day three. It's more interesting. They have more picks, so they can do more at positions like running back and receiver, maybe a kicker.
Make sure you check it out over on Cincinnati.com. We have you covered, E&Q Sports, over on Twitter, Instagram, E&Q Bengals. And next, we'll hear from a guy who actually worked really closely, a should-be Hall of Famer, Willie Anderson, when he talks about Jackson Carmen, the Bengals' second-round pick, on the Bengals Beat Podcast Extra. Thank you for listening to the BBP. We have Willie Anderson in here. I'm going to call him the should-be Hall of Famer anytime I interview him in the future. And the Cincinnati Bengals pick up Jackson Carmen to help in the offensive line. What's your initial impressions? Because you're very familiar with him.
Yes, I've been on Jackson since his senior year in high school. I met him at the Nike opening camp. I was one of the coaches coaching an elite group of kids around the country. And at the finals at the camp in Oregon at Nike headquarters, Jackson and Penei Sewell, they were two of the top kids in the country at that camp. They dominated that camp. And so when the camp was over with, I asked him where he's from. He said, Cincinnati. And I said, oh, wow, man. I said, do you know why I played that? He said, no, sir. And so I told him I played with the Bengals, and he was excited, and we kept in touch over the last 4 or 5 years. He would come to Atlanta. We would train, work with him a little bit before the draft process. Also, you know, in his first 2 years in college, he used to call me all the time about, we used to talk about all the time about how to lose weight and how to control his weight. And through his own doing, he went and got, met somebody that helped him get his meals cooked and got everything organized for him, and he transformed his body. So to me, that shows a self-motivated person. In high school, if you watched his high school senior huddle tape, I think the tape was called The Bully. You know, he's one of the kids that he did exactly what he's supposed to do against kids. And, you know, he dominated kids in high school, and that was his big thing. He was one of those guys that played knockback football. And I think the Bengals are looking for guards and linemen like that, you know. Also, his biggest trait to me is he's highly intelligent. If you guys watched him or interviewed him after the draft, you see he's a kid that knows what to say, knows what his goals are, what he wants to do, and he can take in information and what I call regurgitate it on the field. So once you get him good coaching, he can take the coaching, put it on the field. He's highly self-motivated. He plays bully ball. He plays knockback football. I think it's all things conducive to what the Bengals need in that inside position.
One of the things we're hearing from Zach Taylor and Frank Pollock is he's going to compete right away at the guard position. Obviously, when you know the Bengals offensive line last season, I know a lot of people wanted to point at Bobby Hart at right tackle. Really, the guard play was one of their weaker spots out there. What's he going to bring in at the guard position, even though he's a flexible position guy where he can go out and play tackle if they need him? What does he bring to the guard?
Like I say, playing that inside position at guard, things come at you faster than at tackle. And I think the reason guys who transition from tackle to guard is because that they don't understand, you know, football sometimes. But with Jackson, he's a football junkie. He was with Paul Alexander and myself before the draft, and he was breaking down pass rushes that we were throwing at him, and he already knew their moves. And to me, for a young guy like that, to come in, like most college guys can't break down film of elite pass rushes in the NFL. Well, Jackson has a list of guys who've already broke down their film and can tell you what their favorite moves are, what step they do to move on, what they do with their hands. All that stuff impressed me. I was highly impressed of that because even I didn't know that about him. So being an intelligent guy, being a guy who's not afraid to get in there and rough it up and rumble a little bit, because you got to have a little edge to play guard. You got to have a little edge to you, and you have to be a highly intelligent guy. Those are the good guards and good inside guys, because you want them guys playing knockback football in the running game, but then at the same time, being able to face some of the better pass rushers in today's NFL. You have some guys in the middle that are getting 8, 9, 10 sacks playing a three technique. So having an athletic big guy like him, who's a big guy, take up space, but he can move his feet really good with his hands, and he's highly intelligent, to me, makes a great combination. So he still has to come in and learn the position. I'm not going to overhype him because, like I said, you know, the Bengals have some guys in that room from last season who still want to come in and redeem themselves also too. So it's going to be competition. I think when you have a guy like Jackson and you have a room that you're telling the room, hey, we're going to compete, it takes a certain kind of rookie to be able to do that. I think Jackson has the mindset to go in there and compete with those other veteran guys who are coming back from next year who want to prove themselves differently from last season.
When you think of the addition in the offseason, Frank Pollock, and what you hear about him around the league, a lot of guys pray him, very familiar with the offensive line, and you're familiar with him too. How does he mold some of these young guys into NFL talent?
You know, first of all, Frank's going to bring some toughness to the room. You know, he's a tough guy. He coaches hard. But at the same time, I think he's going to be a more stickler on techniques. And all linemen, all us offensive linemen want is for you to make sure that we understand the techniques and how they're conducive to the play being run. Now, if we're doing things that don't make sense and you're a guy that don't want to explain it, that kind of messed some of us up, you know? So I think Frank is a guy that's going to be able to explain the technique, teach it, and let guys go do them things, you know, because, you know, a good offensive line coach to me is a guy who helps guys mentally with the game. All the yelling and fussing and all that BS stuff, that does nothing for anybody. Like, teach me the game, and as long as you know that as a man, I'm going to give you high effort. You know what I mean? And I think the Bengals have a room full of guys that they'll play hard for you guys. I mean, we seen the last part of last season, guys playing hard and pushing themselves. So, but they need to be taught technique that is conducive to the plays being run. And I'm for one hoping that Frank Pollock is the guy that teaches technique and give guys that right mindset to go out there and compete and play good football.
One of the things that Jackson said to us in his media conference that we heard tonight was the praise for you. He called you the greatest of all time and someone who should be wearing a gold jacket. What does that mean to you?
I'll take the gold jacket. I don't know about the greatest of all time, but like I said, it's good to hear these young kids say this, because I got into the business not really wanting to coach pro guys. I wanted to make an impact on high school kids that go to college and probably turn into pro guys, or some of the high school kids that may not make it to college or may not make it to the pros. I wanted to have an impact in their lives. So I didn't want to be known as the old guy who's you know, the get off my porch guy and everything was better in my days. I want to make sure I relate to these guys. I understand them and I help them. And as long as they know that I'm here for them to help them and not scold them, but to teach them, to make sure they're not making the mistakes that I made or any of the good decisions that I made, I want to get him that. But Jackson's the type of kid that, like I say, he has an edge to him, and he's a rowdy guy on the football field. But at the same time, when we get off the phone, he says, "I love you, coach. I'll talk to you later." He said that every time to me. And the first time he said it, it kind of stunned me a little bit, you know. But it tells you the kid's character, man. And I, for one, I don't want to be around bad people. You know, I choose who I want to train. I choose who I want to deal with. And I tell parents and coaches and agents, whoever, if your kid not a good kid, I don't want to deal with him, because I know what I'm going to give him is going to be something great. It's a blessing from God. And if you're not a good guy, I don't want to be around you. The good thing about Jackson, he's a good dude, but he's not soft. You can be a good dude and not be soft and still be a rowdy guy. But to me, him telling me, you know, off the phone, he loves me, it tells you his character. It talks about his parents, how he was raised. And just a generally good dude, you know what I mean? Like, and you want to see good dudes make it, you know. I'm sure you know Duke. You know, you and Duke Manny wasn't talked a couple of times. Duke can tell you the same thing. He's a tough kid. He's respectful. He's highly intelligent, and the people he beats around, everybody wants to see him succeed, because he's a good dude, man. Really good dude.
Have you had time to talk to him tonight?
We text earlier. I should have been busy myself. I should have been at the hand doctor all day. So I'm going to give him time to, you know, to take care of stuff. We text earlier. I'm going to talk to him here a little later. I plan on talking to him at around 11 o'clock, I told myself, because I'm just getting home myself. So I'll talk to him later on. And I'm ecstatic about him, and everybody's been texting me about him. And everybody's had a hand in and been texting him. We're just so happy for the kid, and happy the Bengals got him.
One more question before I let you go. Obviously, you're on Bengals Twitter. You interact with the fans. You knew going into this draft, it was the team Sewell or it was team Chase. They went Jamar Chase in the first round. Obviously, they add in the offensive line in the second round. What did you think of the Jamar Chase pick?
I'm cool with it, man. You know, I said the whole time, I would only get involved with that whole thing, team Sewell, all that stuff, because I want to make sure Bengals fans know that football is not fantasy football. And I love the kid, Chase. I think he's a wonderful player, big-time player. And like I said, I told you earlier, Duke and I, we talked, Duke Tobin and I, we talked around 4 o'clock. And he said, man, it's a hard decision. You pick great players, and you hope your great player works out. You know what I mean? So I told him congratulations. I'm happy for him. They called about Jackson and called me and a couple of people about Jackson and, wanted to make sure that the things they heard worked out and it was true. So I think they're true. He can come in and has the mindset to come in and compete. And like I say, having Jamar Chase, explosive player, we need explosive players. I think if Joe happy, I'm happy with it. If Joe wanted and Joe's happy with it, I'm happy too. So let's go play football and see what they're going to get in the rest of the rounds.
I can't thank you enough for joining us.
No problem. Thank you, Lindsay.